3, 2, 1.
Here we go. Happy Freight Friday. Wow, do we have an episode today? There are people already lined up on YouTube. Oh my God, Matt Fink is in the house already. Amanda Miller, of course, is here. Jason, Jay-Z, Roger Moore. Carol, I see you. Grace, I see you. Oh my God, you guys are wild today. So welcome to Mad Gains. We have a crazy episode. I think I'm going to have to break this episode into two, but we'll see how it goes so far. So just so you guys know, I have a couple things to tell you. I made a list, just so you know, because I've been drinking and I'm going to lose track of everything. There's Grace. Grace number two is here. All right, first is sponsored by JJ Keller, who they are my favorite safety compliance folks. Did you guys know they're based out of Wisconsin, but they have about 150 consultants across the country. They've been around as long as I've been around in the industry. They are your go-to for safety, consulting, driver training, driver hiring, anything to do with trucking, you need to call JJ Keller. Oh, also, by the way, if you go to their website, for all of my legal nerds, like Jay-Z, I saw you, Matt Fink, and Amanda, and Ignacio, you are too. On their website, they have this really cool green book, and I've used it my whole career. It's for regulations. Order that. It's cheap, but it is amazing. It has explanations. I love it. I don't get paid for that. I should get a little portion of those freights. Okay. We have OTR Capital, as well as you all know, they are my favorite factoring company. And I like them because they treat you like family. They've got back office support. They take care of their carriers. There's no messing around, no fees, no nonsense when you terminate. Talk to OTR Capital and see what they can do for you guys today. Last but not least, and most applicable to this episode, is my favorite company, which you all know, which is Lean Solutions Group. They are your offshore solutions to staffing marketing. As y'all know, they do all my marketing. All this stuff is lean. Everything's lean. My website's lean. Lean marketing has just been making me pretty spiffy lately. So welcome to the show. I'm excited for you guys to be here because we have a great group of folks and a lot of exciting things going on. So while everybody's trickling in, I'm going to introduce the guests. First one we're introducing is Peter. I have been trying to get Peter on the show for 7 months. Peter has been churning me down like a stale girlfriend. And Peter, I'm excited for you to be here. I'm honored to have you on the show.
I'm excited.
He's not really that excited. I had to drag him on. So Peter, you're in Ohio. You own, you run, you manage Ease Logistics. What do we need to know about Ease?
Ease Logistics is, like you said, based in Columbus. We're a third-party asset company, and we take tracking really serious over here. That's why I have a lot to say on this topic, so I'm excited to be on this one.
Right? This topic was your idea, too.
It was my idea. Finally, you brought it to attention. It's the first time I've got the...
I didn't know it was this popular, and then I posted it, and people were, like, pinging me left and right. And they're like, I have this to say and I have this today. And I was like, oh, shit, this topic's going to be hot. Right. We all know Chris Jolly. He needs no explanation. He's always on this show. Adam's always on this show. He's representing truckers. V is always on this show from Aritzia. But V, can you tell your company something? I love your clothing. Not your clothing. I love your company's clothing. Well, I love you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thanks.
I think she just indirectly insulted you, but
that's okay.
No, I love
this
you.
This isn't quite that fancy.
You guys,
I'm at Adam's level of dressing right now.
And thank you guys for joining and coming back and adding substance to the show while I drink. I appreciate it. So, speaking of substance, or lack thereof. Do you guys want to know how me and Peter met?
Yes.
Hold on. I think I got family watching this.
No. Oh, you do? Oh, I should be careful then. All right. I'll tell 50% of the story, and then the other 50% of the story we'll tell on Clubhouse, where it's not recorded.
Let it lay back a little bit.
We're going to do an after show after this episode. It wraps up on YouTube. We're going to do a thing on Clubhouse. If you don't know what Clubhouse is, Amanda Miller will drop the link in there. Go find a friend who can invite you to the app. Download it. Get on Clubhouse. It's where all the cool kids are. And Chris Jolly. So I will tell the story of how Peter and I met.
Cue the text from my wife.
Yeah. I didn't want to assume, but
no, it's a very good story. It's not inappropriate. It probably makes me look a little bad, but anyhow. All right, Vitaly, where do you want to start?
Well, I think that's up to you. I just want to add that my goal here is just to add a little bit of perspective from a shipper side, specifically from an industry that's really keen on KPIs and on-time visibility and risk management. But in terms of starting topic, I mean, hey, we can get straight into why do customers care? And that would be as good a place as any to start.
We can start with, like, I understand why shippers want to know where their freight is. I do too, because I'm on Amazon. Like, where the fuck is my cat litter? And
that took six
why?
Minutes.
6 minutes.
6 minutes.
Oh, I swore. Oh, okay, whatever. Why do shippers need to know 24/7 where their freight is? Why can't it just be once in a while? I feel like sometimes I see shipper contracts and I'm like, you don't need to know where your freight is all the time.
So, and I know Peter's probably going to want to add to this. I've heard him make a good comment on this before, and I think he's right too, but I'll start. A lot of the time, you know, visibility is going to be split into either risk management or proactive planning in case something goes wrong. Realistically, do you need to know where your freight is 24/7? In theory, no, right? In theory, you are giving your freight to a professional company whose job it is to take care of it and take it from A to B and do whatever it is that they need to do, right? What a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of the visibility tracking that's done proactively is so that if something goes wrong or there's a change in plans, this can be proactively communicated to the end user, right? Because a lot of the times, it's not just you and your schedule, right? There's staff scheduling, labor planning, right? There could be an initiative or a sale or sales in general being impacted, right? There could be other projects going on that will, you know, clash with your delivery if the shipment is there at a different time. So there's a lot of these things where if you know ahead of time and you have that visibility and you can see, well, I'm looking at this map and this is supposed to be here for 10 and this guy's 3 hours away and it's 9 o'clock. I know he's not making it there. Or if, you know, you have a CSR that's very good with communication and they tell you that way ahead, you can call the end user and be like, hey, look, like, let's make adjustments. There's nothing we could do. And obviously this goes even further when the delays are talking about days, not just hours and minutes.
Before Peter gets to jump in, is there a difference between when you, as a shipper, when you contract with a broker and when you contract with a carrier? Is there a different visibility? And let's not talk about large carriers. Let's talk about regular carriers, like 75% of the industry, which is smaller than 5 trucks.
I think, and Peter mentioned this, and I think you ended up posting it on LinkedIn because it was a really good point. There's a perception out there that a lot of shippers will say, well, we only deal with asset-based carriers because it gives us greater visibility. Here's the thing. It's 2021. Realistically, there are now tools out there that allow brokers to integrate their own carriers into their ecosystem and provide the same level of visibility that an asset-based carrier can. The difference is, the question really shouldn't be, hey, should we use an asset-based carrier because they give us better visibility, or rather it should be, how does this broker differ from this asset-based carrier? There's always a deeper level, right? So in theory, like, it's really hard to find, as much as people think it's not true, it's really hard to find shippers that don't use brokers, even if they say they do, right? But there's probably a reason for that. And the visibility discussion definitely is helped with technology.
Vitaly, do you think that having such a high requirement for carriers being able to provide transparent tracking also helps that, and it's almost like your first step in making sure that you're onboarding good providers. I mean, have you seen it deter away providers that don't want to enter into that?
Oh, for sure. Visibility is a very important pillar, especially when you get into niche industries and industries that haul expensive goods, right? Like, visibility is going to be important for all the reasons we've discussed, everything from risk and security and making sure that your freight is protected to, you know, understanding what that transportation is like and how being late or being at the wrong place even impacts the end user, right? So it definitely is a huge point, at least, you know, for companies in our industry when it comes to onboarding new carriers.
Right. And the reason I ask that is because I know shippers put a large emphasis on it. However, rarely do you see it, only in unfortunate times is it harped on as where's the tracking on this, right? A lot of time it almost falls to the wayside and customers ask for updates through email or they call and ask for updates, right? And it seems like a lot of time it's used as an avenue to make sure, just another, you know, step in the process to vet good, you know, good providers. On my side, when I'm from a third party side, us being able to capture that data and the tracking and the visibility, that defines our value, right? I already have to overcome with shippers saying we only work with assets. So how do I provide value? And whoa, you know, that's our defining part. And visibility and tracking is so important to us because, like you mentioned, it gives us the ability to predict if we need to do something, if we have to recover a trailer, if we have to make a change, or we have to tell the receiver, right? In this industry, we're all just trying to take little steps to compartmentalize issues so we can go through our day as planned and not be torn into 100 different ways, right?
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm glad that you brought up onboarding. One more kind of, I guess, piece of information. When you tell somebody, I'm good at tracking because we have great communication, that those are just words. When you have a portal and a demo, right, and a way to demonstrate that you have realistic, real tracking, that is tangible. That's a big difference, right? So when you're making a decision between carriers, and one carrier says they do it well, and the other one shows you they do it well, you know, you can see how one would outweigh the other. So I think that's a really good point about onboarding. It's definitely a lot more tangible when you have something like that to demonstrate.
Right. And that's where, again, from my side, a third party, a service provider, that's where the value we bring in again, because some of these trucking companies, maybe the smaller trucking companies or the older ones, don't want to invest in these kind of technologies, which I know we want to hit on later with ELDs and everything, but we can utilize them and we can provide the tracking right through different avenues. And it brings that value to a customer so they can compartmentalize it and move on with their day in some sort of fashion. It's so important though, and I feel like a lot of times, like you said, a lot of people preach it just like they preach after hours, but they don't have hours. It's just the new guy in between bong rips or something answering calls. But yeah, it's the truth. Everyone preaches it. Rarely do you know, it's been so important to us. It's a KPI for performance for our team. How much percent of our board is, you know, tracking compliant? If they're not tracking compliant, do you have a process in place that if we do need to figure out where it's at, who's responsible for it? Who approved that this shipment can go across the country without tracking? When we're talking to our CSRs and our logistics coordinators, I always put it in phrases and, you know, if you were going to put all your shit into a semi and move it across the country, right? Wouldn't you take a little more time of making sure that you knew where that was throughout the whole journey, right? And when you look at it that way, you got to build that confidence, but you have to understand it's so much easier for us to, in live time, see where it's at and then service our customers rather than pick up the phone, have multiple people picking up the phones, calling drivers, distracting them, right? Rather than just being fluid. But again, Vital, you brought up the point, there's hundreds of different services out there, right? So then you spend more time trying to figure out every service rather than actually just providing the service to your customer.
I think that's going to be part of the tech discussion. Yeah, like that point alone I want to talk about so bad, but I'll wait.
Adam, what do you think? Why is there such a big hangup? Because I know every broker out here is probably just like, why won't drivers just go on tracking when we need them? So like, kind of like what Peter brought up a good point there, where it's like, brokers are calling drivers nonstop even after they go on tracking. Like, what is the big hangup from a driver's perspective on going on tracking? Because there's a ton of great programs out there to utilize, but I also understand a driver not wanting to download the 78th app this week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like, what is that? Or like, what could cause some friction there from a carrier's perspective?
I got one word, trust. You know, the word broker has been just kicked around in the mud so much for so long. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, let's just be honest. Like, let's call a spade a spade. Like, as a broker, like, you know, brokers don't have the greatest reputations. You know, it's always been the old cat and dog thing, in my opinion. And the thing about it is, you got brokers that are excessive with it. You know, like, okay, macro points, great. And you've got people that just don't trust those systems and processes. And then you got old school drivers who don't want to adapt to change. They don't want to adapt to technology. They've been driving for 20, 30 years. And they don't want to have downloadable apps. We still have, you know, there are drivers, and I love them to death. There are drivers that still like are using like flip phones and things like that. So that technology piece, you got to remember, like, you know, just because we force technology upon people, the reception, the change is different. Like, everybody onboards change differently. And one of the things that I think about, to your point, Chris, is like, realistically, I mean, we see people struggling with ELDs. Like, being able to use them, not necessarily, you know, wanting to adapt to them, but it's being able to utilize that change. But to answer your question, trust is a big thing. And Chris, I'll be honest with you, man. Like, it's still broken. Like, the whole trust between drivers and brokers, or owner operators and brokers, or fleet owners and brokers, like, it's not kumbaya, bro. It's just not. It's not kumbaya.
How is there no trust? Like, if the broker knows your location, why don't you want the broker to know your location?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, like, do you really, number one, a driver, and I'm going to talk on the other side of the fence. You know, as a broker, you're trying to track a truck, and I truly believe 100% in that. You know, V and Peter, y'all make some amazing point. Because if I'm a shipper, and people forget that shippers at the end of the day is a customer, right? Could you imagine I order something from Amazon? And Amazon is like, oh, no, I can't tell you what your shipment is, and you already spent the money on it. But the thing about it is that, you know, for so long, there's been such that distrust. And a lot of that distrust just comes from the shady practices. And, you know, and when I look at some of the things that have gone on for years and years and years, it's always been a fight. And social media definitely doesn't help, right? Because now, and I'm just going to be honest with you, social media is not helping that at all, because now anytime there's a rate disparity, guess who gets blamed for it? The broker. And then you've got drivers who, you know, Chris Jolly might book a load that's, you know, it's got to be picked up in Phoenix at, you know, 2 p.m. today. And you ask where the driver's at, and the driver says, oh, yeah, I'm 5 minutes away from the shipper. If he had tracking, then he would know exactly where that's at. But then the driver was lollygagging ass and didn't get, you know, he was at the truck stop playing around and he didn't get to the pickup on time, or maybe he didn't leave home on time. So they really don't want to see that transparency. So trust goes both ways. And there's a lot of drivers out here. There's a lot of owner and operators out here that they're not running their business the right way. You know, they're not being prudent. They're not being responsible. And the reason why, to me, and I'm totally for track and trace to a certain extent, and we'll get into that in a little bit later, but it has to be standardized. Like, do not give me like 3,000 different links, just like Chris, you just talked about. Don't give me 3,000 links I need to download. I don't want to do that. Like, if you can't track this shipment, then guess what? That's, you know, like Peter said, hey, you're 3PL, right? That's part of 3PL. That's part of 3PL business model. But unfortunately, you have drivers out here, and you know Cassandra better than anybody else. You know, I'll speak up for the drivers 100%. You have drivers out here that just not keeping it real. They're not being honest. Yeah. Like, they're not being honest, man. Like, and to me, it goes both ways. And it's so far gone. The only thing that'll fix it is technology.
I think Chris's point, and Adam, you mentioned trust, responsibility. And I think that's part of the cynical relationship that exists, is we it only takes a few words on any topic when you're talking about drivers and brokers to get to the word trust, right? And I guess my question back to you, Aunt Chris, is, so when you're saying, why are we still calling them, right? And I'm talking about defining my value, my side. Driver moving on GPS and moving on GPS, right? If something happens to that driver in transit, he gets delayed, and I'm talking to my customer, you know what my customer asks? Did you check with the driver? Did you confirm the driver, right? So, and I think drivers get the cynical look at it because I'm already tracking. Why do you have to call me? We call because we want to verbally confirm the driver understands the expectations of the load. Are you good to go to, are you good to run direct or service the load? We want to hear that vulnerable, we want to hear that vocal commitment to service, right? And that's us saying to a customer in those situations, not only were they tracking, but we verbally confirmed that they knew the appointment, they had the HO, right? And I think because we have to do that to define our value, it's looked at, we don't trust. I trust them, I have no reason not to trust them. But I have to do my job in confirming the details of the load once you've got my customer's cargo. I don't care if you have three GPSs. I want to know, I want to hear with my own ears that you know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
No, for sure. Sorry, Chris. I want you to comment on this. Visibility is accountability. And I guarantee you, the more accountable you are, more trust there is, like Adam said. And I also guarantee you that in no phone call has Chris Jolly ever called somebody he's consulting and said, yeah, you know what, you should definitely lie to them, right? That's just not good practice. And when you lose that trust, that is when shippers will start calling other people, not just other customers, but your drivers and stuff. So, yeah.
And I think, like, honestly, and Adam and I have talked about this as well, I think if the expectation is set up front prior to accepting the load that this is the way it's going to be, you know, like, hey, you're going to, I need you to go on tracking. Also, this is a three day run. On the middle day of pickup here, I'm calling you twice. I need to know where, making sure you're all, because we'll man, machine, and technology, they all break down. All right. So you need to talk to it. You need that verbal. But if the driver's aware of it up front, and the carrier's aware of it up front, then there is no hidden thing. I think it's the fact that as a broker, we're like, you're on tracking, and then we still call them every 45 minutes or 2 hours or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the big pushback of it comes from.
Chris, how much are the brokers calling because it's in the SOP? Like, they're just calling? And how much is it really necessary to call?
I mean,
Destiny just said shady carriers don't want to be tracked. She's so right.
It's excessive at times because it's like when you sit here and you say this, like if Adam is booking a load with me here and I tell him, hey, man, I need you to go on track and these are the expectations. But then I continuously, it's essentially like, I mean, there's no, I guess I can't think of a better word to use, but it's like you're harassing the driver. Like, let the driver drive. Like, if you said that this is the way it's going to be, but then it's like, I got a customer asking me for an update, you know, and then you're wearing out the driver at that point. I think that that's where a big disconnect kind of comes in because it's like I told the driver I was only going to call him once, but now I have a customer.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's.
Do customers really need to know every 45 minutes where their freight is?
No.
Okay.
I've never had a customer. And I played in specialized heavy haul overdimensional freight for a long time. I never had a customer reaching out to me every 45 minutes for an update on the load.
But can I say something about that though? And let's be honest. And I'm gonna play it from two sides. Like, when's the last time you called Amazon to find out where your shea butter was? You know what I'm saying? So you know why?
This morning. No, I'm just kidding.
but you know why, right? Technology, like, it's 2021 and we're talking about calling people to find out where shit
is. Yeah.
Why the hell?
Manually calling people.
Right? Just think about that.
I hate calling people.
And the thing about that is that, like, we're still relying on, like, it's almost like the old can, you know, the can with the string on it to be able to use the phone. Like, that's the whole situation. Like, we need to standardize. It's got to be a standardized process. We do have standardized regulations, right? We talk about ELD and that's standardized. Everybody has to have that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it not linked in directly with, you know, and I'm not a tech guy, I'm a trucking guy. So why is it not, we can't just get location, just like me and Chris was talking about yesterday. Like, that needs to be the expectation set up front. Now, what I will say about 3PL is this, and I'll tell you this, and there's a certain 3PL out there. I won't say the name because I'm not going to make that situation, but they have letters in their name. But anyway, they will call nonstop.
I know who they are.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. I remember when I ran my fleet, I would get calls at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning wanting an update on the ETA or where the truck's at, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? So to your question, when you ask Chris, like, what's this, what's that process look like? You know why they call it 3 p.m.? Because you know what? A 3 a.m., because I just started my shift. I'm going to go through and I'm just going to call areas to find out where the truck's at. Right? Right? And then I'm rolling out of bed. Like, I don't know. Like, call the driver. Like, so where's the process is in that? And I'll be honest with you. The whole track and trace model, I get it. But it is abused sometimes on both sides. Brokers and carriers lie. Point blank, period. Like, I'm going to lie to you where I'm at because I know damn well I told you I was going to be somewhere at 3 o'clock. And I decided to say, you know what? I'm going to drag ass and I'm not going to be there. But I only booked the load because it was paying well, right? So I saw the load is paying well. And I lied to you to tell you that, hey, Chris, yeah, I can be there at 3 o'clock, knowing good and well it's going to be 5 o'clock before I get there. But I wanted to make sure I booked that load. Yeah. I wanted to make sure I got that because I got to pay my insurance. I got to pay my truck note. So I had to do what I had to do. So I'm going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. And that happens. That's part of it. And, you know, one thing that I'm very, very passionate about, I'm passionate about this industry. And one of the other things that I'm super passionate about is just transparency all across the board. And the thing about it is that, you know, you as a broker and as a 3PL, you know, as a 3PL, one of the things that you're responsible for is you're responsible for representing your customer. That's who you represent.
Yep.
But a carrier doesn't have that representation. They're on their own. They're on an island on their own. So, hey, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, bro. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, you got to do what you got to do.
Right. Yeah. At the end of the day, if I got to figure out where my stuff is and I'm not getting the answers, guess what? I'm doing whatever I could do to figure out where it is. That's the bottom line. Right, that's what it is.
But is it that critical? Like at every, I'm sure there's intervals, but is there? In my opinion, and this is V. I'm glad you brought that up, and this goes back to the discussion that we had beginning with Chris. You need to set that expectation up front, right?
SOPs. There's a line. Oh, sure, 100%.
Don't just send me a carrier agreement and fill this out. Sign it. The load's yours.
Yeah,
talk to me like a human being. While we're making a transaction and saying, hey, listen, Adam, this is what we're going to need, right? I need you to be able to agree to this now. I need you to understand that, you know, hey, this is a new relationship. And like Chris mentioned the fact that, hey, you know what? I've got a book of carriers that I know that we work together. We got a great partnership because we got great relationships. Brokers need to do a better job of making relationships and building those relationships as well. Carriers have to do the same thing. But if you built a relationship with a carrier, you won't have to do that because you know that your carrier is going to be there on time. You know that your carrier is going to be who they say they're going to be. Things happen. Like, right? Shit happens. Like, there's accidents happens. Things happen. But at the same time, you've got to give a little to get a little, too. And on a 3PL side, usually it's one way. And that's me being honest.
Adam, you got to give a little. I appreciate that 100%. You know, and expectations should be put out there clearly. And I've seen some comments in there, and you mentioned – why do we need to call the driver at 4 a.m? Why not call the dispatcher? Well, for one, any resolution from a global standpoint has to be something that can be applied in any size business, right? Not all trucking companies have dispatchers. Sometimes we have to go to the driver. And especially us in our roles, we need to be the people when we're talking like this. Why are we automatically saying when we're calling someone, we're harassing them? Why are we even letting that vernacular? Why are we even letting that jump right to that conclusion, right? And then why has it turned from I've hired this trucking company to do so? Right now they're quote unquote working for me, right? We can say that you're doing something, I'm paying you, right? If I want to call you, why is it so bad if I want to call you, right? I'm paying you to do part of the job. Why can't I? And I have a question for the
that's a good point.
I like that.
4 a.m, let's say you were only getting $1,000 on it. If I was paying $6,000, I bet you'd be texting me every 15 minutes, checking in, how the kid's doing, what'd you have, right? So it also comes with how much you
I disagree with that, but I see where you're going with it. But I see where you're going with it.
It's one of those things where it's, why have we turned this, don't call the driver, it's ridiculous, you have all this. we're hiring for hire to do something, right? And part of doing that is, if I want to pick up the phone and call you, I don't want to say I'm harassing you. Now, I will say, you know, Chris, your point, harassing, if you're being, there's no room to be disrespectful. There's no room to be condescending. There's no room to suggest that they don't know what they're doing, right?
Right.
Those calls should, that's ridiculous. Calling and saying, yeah, I just want to check in because it's a 6 a.m. delivery. And believe it or not, out of the 10,000 loads that I had last year delivered 6 in the morning, 10 drivers did oversleep. Crazy, I know. But you know what I mean? It's stuff like that. Why me picking up the phone calling? Why is it caused this much ruckus from your standpoint?
Well, let me
I like this point right here. Constantine says that the real problem is when, okay, go for it.
Let me answer that. If you hire a plumber to come unstop your toilet, do you stand over his back and ask him if he's done yet? Are you done yet?
I mean, sometimes.
Are you done yet? If you do your part on the front side, right. And I understand that you've got to have, there has to be some accountability. Peter, I agree. Absolutely. There has to be hate, right? But in the beginning, like just in the rate con example, like it's all about setting expectations in the beginning. Say, hey, listen, this is what we're going to need to do. Don't just send me over a damn carrier agreement and a rate confirmation. Take the 2 to 3 minutes that it takes to explain your process. Tell me, this is what I need. Hey, this is a couple of things I need from you, okay? I need you to give me a call by 8 a.m. in the morning. Just make sure. And I want to talk to the driver. I don't want to talk to you as a dispatcher, because that's the whole me going through the entire line. And I say something in the beginning of the line. By the time it gets to the end of the line, it's totally different. I want to talk to your driver. And I want your driver to understand that I need to know in the morning by 8 a.m. And I can't wait till we pivot this discussion to technology, because it's a damn shame that we're talking about like manual phone calls, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, you hired me, right? You did your check, you did your background, you hired me to pull your plate for you, right? Let me do my job. If you told me, if you wanted me to be there at 8 o'clock, right? And you know, we talked yesterday and I said, your load's picked up. You got to give me, let me do my job. If there's a problem, I'll call you.
Right.
I need to focus on the road. I don't need Peter blowing me up. And I'm just, and Peter, the only reason why I'm saying this, bro, is because I want to be a devil's advocate. I understand totally what you're coming from. You understand? I get it.
Just a quick point, Peter, if you don't mind, just a quick point. I think there's nothing wrong. Like, Adam, you're totally correct, because you should set these expectations, right? Whether it be in SOPs when you're onboarding carriers, but even on a rate con or an email, hey guys, look, this is a critical shipment for the business, right? It's delivering early morning tomorrow. You guys mind if I take the driver's number and give him a call ahead of time, an hour early, to see that he's on schedule, right? Have that discussion, right? There's nothing wrong for a shipper to say that. And then if the carrier's like, no, you know what? Look, we're fully confident. We're going to have somebody in dispatch. Call them, because this isn't the correct procedure. So be it. Like, we're not gonna go out of the way and ruin our relationship because of that, right?
But that's just one of those things that if there is a 5 or 6 a.m. delivery on it, like that, like of course. And those are the conversations you have to have. Like I've done plenty of stuff going into Kroger's and Sam's Club, Walmart, you name it, and I know how time sensitive and time critical those are. I've had all of those, you know, those 6 a.m. drivers running late, but prior to accepting, I'm letting them know, like, hey, this is the way I'm going to contact you, you know, because it is, yeah, like I'm from the viewpoint that my carriers are my customers too, and I understand that I'm paying them, but at the end of the day, they have my customer's freight who's paying me, you know, on the back of their truck. So it's like having this dialogue preset is how you're going to build those long-term things. And I think, like, you know, especially all this back and forth that's been going on over the last, you know, 15 months, we're so focused on how I'm going to get that driver back in the future. We're not focused on how do we set mutually beneficial expectations up front so we can grow together. It's no, this driver is charging $5 a mile. Fuck that guy. I'm going to get him at $3 a mile here coming up. That's what my focus is. It's not how am I going to service my client? How am I going to reuse this carrier in the future? And how are we going to both make money together?
Right. No, I just want to make, I agree. And I also, Adam, I agree with what you're saying. You know, I'm not going to be completely stuck the whole time. Right. If the expectation, I feel like the onboarding process has become so impersonal. So, right, we've really got that streamlined through technology where nobody has to talk to anybody. Right. And then all of a sudden you're blown up with 30 calls. And now all of a sudden we want to talk to you again. But, you know, so I do agree that if our expectations are, hey, I want to pick up the phone and call you because I want to, then I should at least give the benefit of taking 5-10 minutes to talk to you and say, hey, this is how we operate over here, right? you know, our guys might call you at 5 a.m. and say, do you not want us to do that? And then, so we can build that trust, right? And I just, piggybacking off that, Natalie, from your standpoint, if I'm servicing you and we have a late shipment and you ask me why was it late, and I said, well, the GPS said he would be there. Is that a good enough reason to you to say, that's what I needed to hear, Pete. We're going to keep using you for all our, keep up the good work, right?
So Peter, to your point, and I like the fact that you said that, because the GPS is going to give you true data, right? But the biggest thing is that if the one thing that I can speak on is that sometimes, you know, your brokers are going to try to badger you down and say, why are you late? Okay, well, you said you were going to be at a certain place. Well, what's taking you so long? Or whatever.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, there's some ugly conversations that goes on. Mm-hmm. If I'm lying, tell me I'm lying. There are some real conversations to take place. But more importantly, why is it today is March 5th, 2021? Why are we talking about phone calls and tracking tracing? More importantly, right? Like, that's so when you get to the root cause of the issue, there is no reason why, as a 3PL, that you're still contracting freight to a carrier and there's no technology linked to it, no TMS, there's no way for you to track your freight besides a phone call. Like, that's like me relying on a phone booth for me to make a phone call. Like, it's ridiculous.
The sad part, Adam. You know what's the sad part? Is that this technology exists. And if anything, there's too much of it, right?
Not too much of it. Yep.
I can Google tracking software and I get lists like this. But like,
when I announced the show, I got tons of emails and messages. Yeah, like, we're tracking. Yeah. We do tracking.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when you look at it, the industry and I wanted to comment this before, but whatever, we're going into this topic. I want to talk about this topic. We have to talk about this.
Yes.
Okay. So Adam was saying earlier, hey, like there's no guidelines. And I want to know this too. Why isn't there, at the very least, guidelines, if not actual regulations, when it comes to visibility and risk assessment? When this industry, these companies are dealing with ludicrous amounts of money, okay? Shipments that are sometimes millions of dollars, okay, and it is, we're not, you know, I mean, as far as I know, there isn't anything that regulates this or even provides basic guidelines on how to use any sort of software, how to integrate any sort of visibility guidelines, anything, right? Then you have all these options and they're all built so differently. Think about it this way. One shipper, right? Let's say you have 20 carriers. Five of them don't have anything. Five of them have proprietary software, and 10 of them have 10 different other types of software. People are always like, oh, just pay for it. Well, look, it's like this. Sure, we can use all their stuff. You got to understand, there's cost involved in this as well. There's integration. How long would it take you as a warehouse, as a 3PL, as whatever, to integrate with 20 different carriers? As a carrier, how long is it going to take you to figure all this out with 20 different customers? What about 200? What about 2,000, right? Can they all even work with each other? That's the thing. Are they basic APIs? Like, I don't know. There's nothing. It's like a wild
ride. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was going to say, so like, I've had carriers that I've worked with that they just gave me an EDI login. Like, yeah. I just had direct access because they were like, hey, listen, you can speak with my driver. That's fine. But after you get the information you need from them, you know, say it's a seal number, case count, all that to send off to your receiver or however that looks, you can just direct access their e-log. And I can provide that link to my shipper, receiver, whoever, you know, and I could screenshot all of that. It shows the route, the mile per hour they're at, what freeway they're on, everything. Yeah, I've had,
they exist.
I know I've had that, but I've also had a pushback from that. Like, I'm not giving you access to that information. Like, what are you doing? You know? And so it's like, I think that is that one piece that everybody needs, because it gives you direct access to the exact location, the idling speed, whatever it is all right there in the e-logs.
Don't give up. And that's why we got to take a couple steps back to our conversation, right? So like the ELD is a perfect point, right? It's totally accessible. Give you all the information that you need. You don't have to ask any questions. And if you can interpret the data, you'll know exactly where your truck is going to end up. But at the end of the day, it goes back to the very beginning, right? Why don't we just ask for it? Like, why is that not part of the discussion? So I'm going
to
tell you.
I just want you guys to know that there are companies out there that already have a fuck ton of ELD data coming in And in fact, I have to coach them. They're my clients and I have to coach them. You have too much data. I know that you can see that trucker going across. You can see the speed. You can see where they are. You can see the timing and you enjoy it and you love that. But it's too much data. It's causing problems. It's going to be liability. I want you guys to know that. So like the tech exists and this ELD data is being used. Probably not as much in the over the road because we have drivers who are still behind and do not want to use the technology. Like that's the only reason I can think of.
But I hear that, but I'll raise you one because as a broker, and I'm just now I'm going to play on the other side. As a broker, you just want that information for your own tummy, right? So that information is from a service perspective. It's not going to be, I hope you're not like hoping that there's going to be a litigation or anything that's in place that's going to kind of standardize that and regulate that, because that's because you just want to make sure you feel good about a relationship.
Right. I ask my clients that all the time, Adam. I'm like, why? Tell me one reason why you need to know their speed and why do you need to know exactly where they are every minute?
Right. You don't need to know. You do, but you don't. You just want to look good in front of your customer. Like, and I'm just going to put it what it is. You want to look good. You want your customer to continue to do business with you. It's service related, right? So it's not going to get regulated. But how do we improve it, right? And I think that one of the things is that you got a lot of people who just don't want to embrace the technology. Well, guess what? Like maybe as a broker or maybe as a 3PL, it's okay for you to say, hey, you know what? Here's your shipment. We're going to need this data before we even sign a Raycon. If they will not agree to it, then guess what? V, I'm not going to push the load for you. I'll just have Cassandra do the load. I'll find somebody that's going to move it, that's going to comply with the things that I need. And this whole phone call shit is ridiculous. Like, because I'm going to tell you that there's some brokers that if you don't get an answer, if they don't give you an update, they will call and they will call and they will call. And they will call and they'll keep calling until they get in contact with, they'll call a dispatcher, they'll call an owner, they'll call a driver. And sometimes it's so excessive when you look at the root cause and think about how much, it'd be really, really interesting for us from a data perspective as 3PLs, think about how much time of non-productive activity goes into you just doing track and trace versus you going out and getting more business, right? If you could take that same time and go out and figure out how you can generate more business for your company versus going around there and babysitting a truck, then how can that make that better? How can we be more productive?
Yeah, automation will absolutely allow your company more bandwidth to do other stuff. Just like it'll give me more bandwidth to not call you every 10 minutes or whatever if it's a critical shipment, right? Absolutely. It's a solution. It is very much a solution that will help both parties, right? There's nothing wrong with it. It should be done, absolutely.
So go ahead, Peter.
Obviously, the amount of call volume is the pressure point. Do we think that we can agree that we can still understand and validate why some calls have to happen, right? I think that we're very far away from any technology out there from GPS tracking that any shipper is going to let take on the full responsibility and accountability of shipments being late. I can't imagine talking to an auto manufacturing line that has line one production and say, hey, the GPS said it would be there. They want somebody. They want somebody to be accountable, right?
I wondered why you guys everybody was still calling.
And when we interject and we vocally confirm, right, don't call every 50 minutes out, but to call every 4 hours or depending on the type of load to call, even with GPS, somebody needs to be accountable. And I think we're really far away from any technology taking on that from a customer standpoint and the customer validating that, saying, okay, that's why, right? But when we interject and we put our name behind it, we confirmed along with the GPS and a respectable amount of calls, one or two calls every 500 miles, right? Why is that simple? Or is just cynical because there are some brokers out there on GPS and calling you every 30 minutes. And when they're calling you, they're also degrading you, right? I think that's a distinction. I don't want us talking about calling drivers to automatically get grouped with the shitty calls and the cynical calls, right? Is there any kind of agreement from the shipper side, from Adam's side, that we can understand and respect the need for some call volume, right? I think we can all agree disrespectful call volume. You don't need that shit.
But would it be better for you as a let me ask you this, and I'm asking you this because I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Wouldn't it be so much more efficient for you that once you tender the load to me as a carrier, that once I receive that rate con, I have to put an update on the ETA electronically, right? And then the electronic, like the communication is always electronic. Each day that it would automatically send you an automatic update of where the truck's at. So for instance, if I've got to do a 1900 mile run, you'll get instant access to where the data on that truck is. Do you really need to talk to me, or do you just want the data? And that's just what I think it really kind of boils down to. Like, you want to, like, you don't need to, you need to ask me what my ETA is if you got the data to be able to do that. The data is out there. The technology is there, right?
It is. And you tell me an ETA and you mean it, but something happens, right? And I didn't verbally check it. I got it, right? I didn't call and say, so 100% confirmed, right? You told me, but I didn't make that action. I didn't confirm it,
right?
At the end of the day, you can go and get another load. I'm the one that has to deal with my customer. I'm the one that has to handle it, right? And I got to make sure I'm doing the checks and balances. So when I'm in these positions, did you do this, Peter? Yeah, we did this. Did you do this, Peter? Yes, we did this, right? Nothing that I think we shouldn't call them 4 times an hour. No, but I have to interject and verbally confirm and put stuff and document it. Because when I sit at a table and a line did shut down, the conversation is really short if I didn't call. So you just went off GPS tracking, didn't say anything to them. Yep, right? And that's what I'm trying to see. You know, I hate that we're grouping the cynical, immature calls of these, you know, some young brokers that like to call almost an extra power and just degrade somebody.
That's
crazy to me.
And I agree. And I love this conversation because – like, right. So you guys are on one side, right? There's another side in transportation. That's the end user. That's the one that's actually behind the truck. That's actually trying to get the load to where you want to get it delivered. You know what I'm saying? And there has to be the implementation of technology, period. This whole track and trace stuff is really got out of hand, because at the end of the day, right, we're in 2021. And just a few years ago, we started using ELDs as a matter of just tracking as far from a data perspective. Airplanes been using it for almost 40 years, right? So right. So my point is, why are we here? Why are we still here? Right? So why are we still in the stone ages of technology? Now, why are we still talking about, hey, you know what? I've got a call to get a confirmation. I'll tell you what you want to hear. Right. So if you want to know, if you really want to know, Peter, I'm gonna tell you what you want to hear. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, we're good. Don't worry. Yeah, we're good. It's compliance over commitment at that point. Right. Okay, you want to call? I'm gonna tell you exactly what you want to hear. I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna make it on time, knowing damn well this is a toss-up, it's a 50-50. But if that means that I'm gonna get you off the phone so you won't bother me anymore, I'm gonna tell you whatever you want to hear.
I agree, and it happens a lot, right? And that's why it can be validated. To have follow-up calls.
No,
right?
It can be validated with technology. Forget the follow-up calls. Don't call me anymore. Like, yo, I'm gonna tell you what you want to hear. Root cause of it. Forget the follow-up call. Fix the technology.
Okay, so there's got to be a balance here, because I can see where Peter's coming from. Where, like, it does sound good to a shipper, and Vitaly, you don't have to talk about your current role, but you can talk about a lot. Oh, Adam's done with us.
He's out.
He's like, fuck you guys. In fact, I don't want to call you guys anymore. I'm done with you people.
His lunch probably came. He had to take it. It was more important.
With his paper napkin.
I don't think my personal question to Adam went well.
We scared him off. He's done with us. But Vitaly, you don't have to talk about your current company or role, but you've been in the transportation industry for a long time. Is there some truth to what Peter is saying, which I know there's truth to it because I've heard it before, which is, customers want to hear that there's some kind of verbal communication. They don't want to hear you rattle off an electronic. Because I've heard it. I've heard this a couple times too.
I mean, you have to have a conversation to understand.
Oh, you guys.
There you go.
Adam, I thought you were pissed at us.
I don't know. I think next exit logistics maybe leave the show.
Oh, next exit always cuts off my internet and does sneaky things.
He kicked my ass out. So.
Oh, he's powerful. He's in Texas and scares me a little bit. Okay, I've heard the point many times that Peter has said, which is, and I'm sure Chris Jolly has too, which is, you know, our customers want to hear you confirmed. Like, I talked to the driver and this is what they said. Even if it's bullshit, they love that feeling it gives them. So I was asking V, in his entire career, does that ring true to it? Or is there some hope there that shippers are okay with just seeing the GPS and the electronic signal?
I think there's a different layer too. It also depends on the type of service you've requested and what you're looking to do. If you're working with white glove, right, that's almost to be expected. You're talking to the crew on the ground. If you're doing a simple LTL shipment, I mean, unless something went wrong and I want to understand what went wrong, and that going wrong could be, hey, I called your dispatch when the shipment's 2 hours late or whatever, 2 hours beforehand, and nobody answered, nobody gave me a call, nobody told me what's happening. I want to have a conversation to understand how this happened so we can prevent it in the future, right? When you have certain industries like white glove, for example, I mean, that's a standard. Like, you call the driver or you call the crew because it's generally more than one person, right? Like, it really you know, the relevancy depends on what kind of job you're doing. Do I have to talk to the driver? No, don't want to, not really, right? But if that's what it takes to get an answer because I'm not getting an answer otherwise, then that's what I have to do.
So I want to, we have 10 minutes left and there's one thing that's kind of bugging me a little bit, but I want to summarize. So far we have talked about a lot about why we're manually calling the drivers, why the drivers hate those manual calls, how they're bugged all the time about these calls. Sometimes they're inappropriate calls. Sometimes they're just filling an SOP and calling a lot. Why drivers don't want to use technology. How much technology is out there, which we really haven't dived into as much as I wanted to. This might have to be another episode. One piece that's missed. Hey, Zeke. Zeke, can you come on the screen, Zeke? This is my tech guy. This is Zeke. He's my tech guy. Hey, Zeke, you have someone. There's an extra person in the
yes, there is.
In the crowd. We have someone creeping on us.
John Stamos?
What's going on?
I thought it was John Stamos, too. And then for a minute, I thought it was Next Exit Logistics. But it's Hunter Bell from Lean Staffing.
What's going on? How's everyone doing? Joined a little late here.
That's okay. You're big time. You swoop in on my show. You creep in the background. And then you're just going to take it over. Here's what we need from you, Hunter, before we go on to our next topic, which is... since Lean is a sponsor, could you tell people who, the very few people who do not know you, since you are my future freight boyfriend, and you have an amazing hairline, and he's younger, you guys. He's really good looking. And so could you introduce yourself to us, and then could you tell us why Lean plays a role in Track and Trace? And then we will let you go back to your big time things.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate the intro there. I'm a senior account executive over at Lean Solutions. Quickly, we set up satellite offices in Colombia, South America for a U.S.-based transportation company. So I saw Cassandra with this Track and Trace special, and it really hit home because we are doing Track and Trace for majority of our clients. And we've seen a little bit of the transition as far as automation. Obviously, with technology, it's tough to say, hey, 100% of that tracking is going to be done completely without anyone, you know, making those check calls. But we have seen a little bit of a shift as far as when we first started 9 years ago, we had everyone, all the big guys saying, we need tracking support. And now it's almost transitioned to the, hey, we have some automation to track, but what are you guys doing on like the carrier sales side or some of these other positions? But as far as like Track and Trace, I think we're at least a couple years away from full automation. I think the industry is pretty fragmented as far as small carriers, large carriers. When I first got in the industry, I was very surprised to hear 1% of what carriers are like 100 plus trucks. I think that's the stat there. And like 84% of the carriers have 1 to 10 trucks. So how do you get those guys to develop and use this technology, I guess? Have you guys been chatting about that a little bit, or what's been the the conversations. I know I missed some good combos.
Adam's you been did. Agreeing with everything I've said. I've been saying.
I think I saw Adam grab a drink in his background. I'm sorry, Chris Jolly. Go ahead.
No.
Did you guys? I thought Adam had so mad at me.
No, I think like, you know, finding those carriers, and I've talked with Adam about this too, is like where you don't have that reliance on the need for technology. And I know that this takes time to build up. And I know everybody uses the word find relationships, mm-hmm. but you got to cycle through a lot of the bullshit to get to that mm-hmm. level. And yeah. I think like a lot of what Peter's saying right there is like, hey, we need that. And it's that we took it a step further. We didn't just rely on GPS, but after a while, it's going to get to the point where you're going to be working together so much that the carriers are letting you know. They know, you know, each other's tendencies, and that respect is there because you've kind of filtered through. And I think that goes same on the customer side. You're going to filter through some customers before you find your core that you can grow and scale with. And I think the same goes on the carrier side. But I think like when you have that in place where technology isn't really needed, when you know that the carrier that you've given $500,000 worth of business to in the last 45 days, when they tell you that those updates, they're being proactive in their approach because that trust factor is built in. Obviously, I know this is easier said than done, but when we're identifying what lanes carriers want to run as opposed to the lanes we want them to run for us, you know, instead of trying to spend time convincing a driver to go from Charlotte to Richmond, Virginia, when he told me I want to go to Nashville, stuff like that, you know, like your reliance on technology isn't as needed because you're invested in each other's business at that point.
I think we are at a point where we need a follow-up episode, I'm thinking. I forgot to tell people, I did a lot on social media, but for those of you who are joining us, we are about to switch over to Clubhouse. So we're going to switch over to Clubhouse, which Chris Jolly is already on, and Adam has like 900 followers.
Adam's my idol.
And he is my idol too. And he tries to play it off and then he starts bitch slapping me with technology. So we're going to switch over to Clubhouse and we're going to go through some of these comments and talk about worst case scenarios and worst stories. And then Peter's going to tell an amazing story for us about how great of a person I am. And so this is what you need to do to be on Clubhouse. Clubhouse is an iPhone app. So if you don't have an iPhone, I'm sorry, you can't join us. That sucks. I know it'll be fixed, I'm sure, at some point in time. And if you do have an iPhone app, there's a link. Amanda Miller will drop it in all the comments that you can just click on and then request to connect with me, I think, and it'll lead you right to the event. And all you have to do is just listen and you can participate or you can just creep on us like Hunter does. And these guests will join us. And I don't know how long we'll go because I'm going to be drinking heavily because this episode was really stressful for me because Chris Jolly and Adam usually make fun of me and it turns into a bloodbath. So I was just waiting for it, but I think I've survived so far. So we are going to hop off a little bit early and we're going to jump on to Clubhouse. So we'll see you guys in about 15 minutes on Clubhouse. Have a great day. I know, I'm so excited. So